have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
As I look out in the world, troubles are the same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Without
a doubt. Locked out in the cold. No peace within, no will to survive. But when Jesus came in my life, his love abides.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
did. Without
a doubt. Gave me the victory.
The Lord has made a way.
Made a way.
Yes,
he did.
Oh, yes, I made it through the storm. The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he did.
But God told me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now I can rejoice and shout, my God has worked it out.
Worked it out.
Yes, he did.
He worked it out.
He set me free. Gave me the victory.
He
healed my body. Made me whole.
He
brought me out. And he saved my soul. I was dead.
Work it out.
Right on time.
Work it out.
Amen. We're waiting for Apostle Benton L. Smith to make his way in.
I'm Bishop Lester Ernest D. Richard Jr.
And I'm going to take a moment to say hello to you.
This is the voice.
We bless God for every one of you. I know you've been away for a short span.
A series of things have happened, but the victory rocked in our lap. And God got us back on track. Well, let me take time to say hello to you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. How are you today, my dear sister? Don't abandon me now, sis. You're talking, but you're muted.
You know me pretty well. I was just talking. Yeah. I was like, it's an amazing day. I love that song. He worked it out. That's one of the songs that you
know what? Exactly. That's a beautiful song. Now, that's
the second
time I heard it. Now, who is that? Who's doing that song? Because I've heard it before.
I don't know who's singing it.
I'll find it.
Okay.
I'll find it. But whoever, because you know what, I was thinking back into my days of not necessarily being a gospel DJ, but being on the radio. If I was still on the radio on a Sunday afternoon doing the gospel exchange like I used to, I would have mixed that song with the Ricky Dillard and New G version of Work It Out.
Oh, wow.
I would turn around, you know, I said, Work It Out.
He worked it out, and it would turn around, and then remix. I would have fun. I hear echoing.
Anyway, who is with us tonight? Let's find out.
Father Smith is here now.
All right, it's in your hands, sir. I'm just holding it down. Get on. He's unmuted, I hope. No, he's unmuted. I think it's the phone. Maybe it's the echo.
Yeah, he must have got a powerful message. I'm not sure, but we got to figure this out.
Because we're a few minutes into the show, and we ain't going to shut down now because we are
here.
Apostle, you hang up. If he hangs up, you hold it down for me. I'll get him on the line through my phone, and then that way.
Yeah, I will hold it down. I'll play another selection. How about that?
All right, play another selection. Apostle Smith, hang your phone up. I'm calling you right now, and we're going to get you in on one line so that we can, unless you can get through. Can you hear us?
He just hung up.
All right, let me call him right now.
He just hung up.
All right, let me call him right now. All right, you hold it down. Play another song. I'll be right back.
Tied on the cross so that I can be free. I'm not the same because of your grace. You are amazing. You are amazing.
I am not the same. Do you really know that God is amazing? He's an amazing God. He can do what nobody else can do. And if you hear this kind of excitement tonight, you must be listening at the Voice with the Bishop Elect Curtis Stephen Richard Jr. opened up for us tonight. We've been having for more than a month now some kind of technical difficulty, amen, with the cellular device, and the enemy tried to do it again tonight. But he's a liar, and we're coming through with the word of God tonight. The Voice is back in effect, and we shall declare what God has given unto us to bless your very life. In Jesus' name, let us see tonight who is with us, amen, on this podcast tonight. Amen. I know the producer is here because she plays some good hot music tonight to keep us encouraged. Amen. Kimmy Kim. Amen. Come on.
My boyfriend is back. My boyfriend is back. I miss my boyfriend. I'm just kidding. Hello, Papa Kim.
The Lord has kept me and brought me back to this time.
Amen.
Yay.
And we thank God. I hear the voice and he opened up for us. But Bishop E. Richard, Bishop Ernest E. Richard. Amen. I'll give you a new name.
That's all right. If I got a new over in Zion, I might as well have a new talk. Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Blessings be unto you. Nice to have you back, sir. We missed having you. You know, as we often say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I can't speak for nobody else, but I've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in it. Happy to have you back on the airwaves and just ready to do whatever we need to do. I have no idea where we're going, but hey, listen, take the wheel, Jesus. I'm going to sit in the driver. I'm going to sit in the passenger seat.
Yes, I don't know if he's here, but I'm going to call him. I'm going down to Georgia and see, do we have an Apostle Urban A. Whitlow on the line? No voice. He must be making peace by tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me go to Georgia again. That town they call College Park. Do we have Apostle Felicia Blight? I don't hear nothing. She must be making peach cobbler. Hallelujah. And we want to go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Is there a Pastor Anna Henderson on the line?
Oh, thank you, see that the Lord is good and blesses the man who trusted in him. I'm so glad to be on tonight with you, Apostle. I'm glad you're back. Amen. And we are looking forward to the discussion in Jesus' name.
Amen. If there are any others on the line tonight that I don't know about, please give your name. All right, I hear no names. I don't know if Sister Chanel has got here yet, but if she's not on the line, text her and tell her, get up, call in. Let me say, I am so excited on this week. Yesterday was Palm Sunday. Jesus went in Jerusalem with victory, amen, and with power. And the people cried what?
Hosanna.
They cried.
Hosanna.
They cried Hosanna. And what was the Hosanna about?
From them, they had cried out for victory, And they thought it was against the tyranny of the Roman Empire, not realizing that they were giving a prophetic voice and honoring the Lord of Lords and King of Kings as they
spread palm
branches.
Somebody tell me, what did Jesus ride into Jerusalem on?
Come on.
A donkey.
Talk, y'all. There you go.
He rode on a donkey. Somebody might say a jacket, but he rode in on a donkey. What did the donkey represent? Somebody tell me.
Well, anybody that knows history and war, anytime a king, emperor, or someone of that authority or that caliber rode in on a horse, they were riding in for war. But if they rode in on a donkey, they were riding in peace. You can go back
all
and trace
right.
it. Can I? Do you want me to finish? You want me to stop right there? I could. Okay.
No, I just wanted to say something. You can come back.
All right.
Isn't that something? The palms represented peace. He rode in peace, not for war. There's something awesome going on.
That's right.
Go
That's
ahead,
right.
sir.
No, I was just going to trace it back when Abraham took Isaac to the mountain to offer him up before the Lord. He had Isaac riding on a donkey. This is all significant. That's all I was going to just share with you real quick. You can shift over to when David was about to appoint and anoint Solomon as king. He had him ride back into town on his donkey. Think about that for a minute. I mean, Jesus riding in on a donkey had great significance. People overlook the donkey. They're so wrapped, tied, and tangled in the praise. Back up for a minute. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming in peace. He wasn't coming in to set up pieces. He was coming in peace because he knew in his spirit there was going to be war, but he already had the victory.
And people need to also look at the fact that the donkey is a servant.
That's right.
The horse has to be trained because he's for battle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can take a donkey and break him in with the first ride, with the first saddle, and he will serve thereafter. But a horse got to be broke down and trained and taught what to do because he comes in a hardhead. But because of the training, he becomes a servant. A donkey is a servant from day one.
Amen.
And so God knew what he was using and knew what he was doing.
You want to hear something else interesting, Apostle?
Yes.
When Mary and Joseph came to pay their taxes, how did Mary ride in?
Yeah. Matter of fact,
when
she had Jesus, she was on a donkey.
That's exactly right. She rode in on a donkey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was just mentioning some things. My talk tonight is not about Palm Sunday. I just wanted people to hear a few things to know why we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's not just a Sunday to come and get a palm. There's a reason why we celebrate.
Right.
And something was said yesterday that I want to share with you. It's the Palm Sunday. The person said, if you really know about palms, said it is written in the book, palms are to be planted in front of your house to represent peace. But not only that, if you root it in front of your house, it will take root itself and plant itself in front of your house as a constant show of peace. Never mind whether it looks like it's drying out. The next year, it will come back as a green symbol of peace. Now, the palm is fall.
All right now.
So it all has a reason. It's all for the season. And God has victory for all of us if we just follow through. All right, somebody get Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Let's get ready to time ago. Amen. But I was attacked and went in the hospital for almost a week.
Mm.
I got out the hospital, and the enemy didn't want me to say nothing. My phone was attacked for nearly a month. That's why you haven't heard me. I ain't been on no vacation.
Mm.
I didn't want not to come to you. I couldn't come to you because my cell phone was not acting right. But thanks be to God tonight for the new cell phone and the new connection with you. So God is good and worthy to be praised. I want Pastor Henderson to give us an opening prayer. Amen. And Dr. Kim, I want you to find that scripture. Ephesians 4, verse number 10. Go ahead, let us pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and give you glory on tonight. We thank you, Lord, for each one that has tuned in on tonight. We thank you for this platform, Father God. Oh, God, that something was said, hallelujah, that will encourage the minds of your people, that will elevate your people to another place in you. Lord, open up our understanding and word our mouth as we speak before the people on tonight, Father God. We just give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you, oh, God, for Papa Smith being back on, hallelujah, with the connections, oh, God, with his people, Father God, and I just thank and praise you, God, for everything that you're doing, Father God. Bless each one on the line, each one that is tuned in. Oh, God, you know what they need to hear tonight. And so, Lord, we put the podcast in your hands, and we say, Holy Ghost, have your way, and let your will be done. Let your power prevail, and we give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
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 Thank you so much, Pastor Henderson. Amen. Kim, let's give him the scripture.
Okay, so that is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it reads, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things.
Now, tonight,
okay.
Amen, I'm going back to the subject, amen. Are you Jesus component? Are you in match with him to do what he has done? So are you in compliance with God? Are you ready to do what he can do? All right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start with a question. I know we sort of talked about it before, but I want to come with this question tonight. Why did Jesus go to hell? I don't want to hear nothing about the keys. We talked about that before. I want to see where you're thinking tonight. Somebody get in the spirit and tell me why Jesus went to hell. Because I want to say this first, and then I want you to tell us why Jesus went to hell. When they rolled the rock on the sepulcher, Jesus immediately said he was dead, but he was not dead. He immediately got up, folded the napkin, and went to hell. So why did Jesus go to hell?
Ladies, you care to tackle this first?
Well, for me, I'm just going to go based on the fact that he wanted to conquer the keys, well, to get the keys of death so that he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he was on an assignment by the Heavenly Father. Yeah.
All right, anybody else want to answer that question?
Well, we can do it from the scriptures, or we can talk about from our own standpoint. Where it says he led captivity captive, there were captives down in hell, in the bosom of Abraham. Not that they were actually in hell itself, but they were in a holding place.
and needed to be safely ushered through that passage and back into their place of eternity where they would spend with God. So Jesus went to get those souls because they were the first souls, seeing that he had risen from the dead, had to physically die as a man. So now he has to go get those souls of those saints who were in the bosom of Abraham and bring them out. You can understand the bosom of Abraham if you hear the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When you pay attention to that parable, you see the conversation that was had and how the rich man wanted to go back and tell his brothers and sisters not to come to hell. But we found out that Lazarus in this parable was in the bosom of Abraham. So if I put all this together, recognizing that the Lord had to suffer, bleed, and die to bring us back into redemption and reunite us with God, the first thing he needs to do is go get those souls that went on before he came. Go ahead.
Now, that is good scriptural interpretation, but can I share with y'all right now what God showed me in this scripture by revelation?
Talk.
Not the book of Revelation, but by his divine revelation.
Talk to us.
I want you to understand, think about it. While Jesus was on the word, while Jesus was on the earth, what was he?
A man.
Thank you. And while he was a man, one scripture says this man was full of what?
Full of the Holy Ghost.
He was full of the Holy Ghost. So for all these years, Satan has seen him as a man full of the Holy Ghost. But when the Bible says he descended, this was the first time through the earth the devil had ever seen Jesus full of the Holy Ghost, not a man. He went to hell and Satan saw him for the first time just wearing the Holy Ghost, not flesh. You got to know that when Jesus descended, he descended in power. He was no longer a human. He was God himself.
Amen.
And he went down to hell as the Holy Ghost. He didn't go down to hell as Christ or as Jesus, who was born in the flesh. He went down to hell full of the Holy Ghost. Now, when Satan, no wonder Satan was so shaken and so messed up when Jesus went down to hell, because this was the first time he saw him in his full power, not in the power that is usable as a man, but when he went to hell, he saw the actual power of God standing before him. Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Mm.
That had to be some sight to see God come to hell. But think about it now. The only way God could go to hell was to be a man first so he could operate his power to go to hell. Oh, my Lord. I'm telling you, when he got down there, said he was so bright, Satan had never seen that kind of light down in hell before. And when Jesus began to move about, he began to shine in that place until it disturbed Satan himself. Satan wanted to see, what is this he did, how he felt when he finally saw what the light was? Somebody talk to me.
Primarily, it's not hard to understand. He knew he was dead, doomed, finished, kaput, and recognized it's just a matter of time before he's going to ultimately meet his end and his demise. At that moment.
You said in a moment he was going to be beat. Then the word of God is not a lie then. It said because of the crucifixion, he was beat down to a pulp. And so when Jesus went to hell, he finished up what? The beat up. He finished up beating him down and messing him up. And I want to say tonight, for everybody that is afraid of the enemy is a big foe. He cannot be anything else. He is a beat down, beat up, no good foe unto you, and there's no need to be afraid because Jesus already took care of him. His teeth is missing. Amen. His arm is broke. His body don't feel good because Jesus done hit him in the stomach, in the ribs, in the lungs, everything. He is beat down and beat up. So what are you afraid of?
Good question.
He make it look like he's strong and powerful, but Jesus has taken that power, taken that strength, and left, watch this now, and left him helpless.
Amen.
Whatever power he's trying to demonstrate before you, I want you to know tonight is false. It's false. Oh, I got to holler that. It's false. And I thank God for my good friend, amen, Joyce Myers. She said that, amen, it is an acronym to the word fear. What is fear, y'all? Anybody know what fear is?
Fear is the... let me put it in words that I can say. I can't give you the dictionary thing at the moment. I got an idea, but fear is being afraid that the ultimate demise or the ultimate what's the word I'm looking for? A damaging thing has the ability to happen.
I want y'all to write this down tonight, if you can. George Myers says a statement, fear is false evidence appearing real.
That's interesting.
That's what fear is false evidence appearing real. And what the enemy wants to do is put us and put others in a fear factor, making you think that you're about to be beat down, even though Jesus has already shown us the victory. He wants you to stay in a fear factor, and the fear factor from Satan ain't nothing but false evidence appearing real. How many of you tonight will say there are things that have come in your Holy Ghost life that seems like it can mess you up, but when God started revealing to you, you found out you can have power over that fear moment.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So it was just false evidence appearing real. The devil trying to make you think that something was getting ready to happen to you. But nothing happen to you because you have power. You have victory. You have, God said, he always calls us to do what?
Triumph.
And what does triumph mean?
Well, triumph means that you've already got the victory. You're victorious, even though you had nothing to do with the fight. You're victorious.
Now, that's something. He said that we're always triumphing, but that says I got victory at all times. That's Amen. Something else. When we're going through things, we don't always feel victorious. We don't always speak victorious, but victory is already locked into our spiritual being. Amen. And God said it's with us every day. In every situation, we are victorious. Look, start to say, look at somebody. But tell somebody, you don't have to try to be victorious. It's in you. I didn't hear y'all tell each other nothing. I'm going to have to find some.
Amen. I agree. In Jesus' name.
No, he said, say it's in you. It's in you.
He saved me too.
The
Amen.
Same victory he had when he descended, he also released it into his people. You should never be defeated. You should never be downtrodden. You should never be worried and intimidated because you have the victory. And besides the victory, you have power. And what did he say to us about having the power? He said, what? You have power over what?
To tread upon serpents and scorpions and all power over all the power of the enemy.
You got power over serpents, power over scorpions, and power over the enemy.
All the power of the enemy.
So notice this now. Scorpion, poison.
Uh-huh.
Serpent, poison. He said any trick of the wicked one, you have all power over that already. You're even victorious in that. So why are you hiding up under the sheet and putting the pillow over your head and always looking back, trying to see what's behind you? I want you to understand that nothing can destroy you because you have the same thing Jesus has. It's called the Holy Ghost. And let me say again, all of you that's talking about you feel with the Holy Spirit, stop it. The Bible didn't tell us to get filled with the Holy Spirit. He told us to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And let me share with you why I say that. When you read the Word of God said the Word is Spirit. You can't get filled with the Word and expect it to do for you what the Holy Ghost is supposed to do. Be filled with the Spirit, because you should be filled with the Word. But you need the Holy Ghost to give you power. You need the Holy Ghost to win over Satan. You even need the Holy Ghost to get up out the grave and go back with Jesus. Lord have mercy. There's so much need to be said. But I'm telling you, let's look at the fact that Jesus got up out the grave, went to hell in his full power. If Jesus went to hell in his full power, by imagination, tell me what was going on in hell then.
you got to know it was a great disturbance, because evil, just as good when it's disturbed with chaos, shifts and changes, evil does the same thing when it's disturbed with peace.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you made that statement. There had to be full disturbance from everything in hell, including Satan.
That's right.
Because everything down there, they had won. They thought Jesus was done for. But when he arrived in hell in full power, there had to be, amen, a nervousness and a disturbance that went through hell like never before. Because they realized what they thought they had done, they had not done. How do we know that? What did Jesus say on the cross?
You want the last seven words?
I just want one word he said that let us know what really happened. Satan did not kill him.
No, it didn't.
What happened?
His last words, it is finished.
No, that wasn't the last word. But that last word will really help us tonight. Can anybody remember the last word?
Into thy hands,
I commit my spirit.
Yes, sir. He let Satan know, even on the cross, you ain't killing me. I'm going to give my life up.
Amen.
The Bible talks about it, that he would give himself up. Satan had nothing to do with his death.
That's right.
The centurion had nothing to do with his death. He gave himself up. And notice what he said. To thy hand. He didn't say, I commend my flesh. I commend my body.
I commend my spirit.
What was he talking about?
The real him, the inner man, the man that lived in that house of flesh.
I'm glad you said that, Bishop Elect. He said, I'm going to commend the real me unto you, because he knew that his father would have to give him back in the grave in order for him to go to hell.
Now, can I add something to what you're saying there, Apostle?
Yes, sir.
You know, this is a favorite scripture of mine. We can clearly see how that scripture comes to life in what you just shared. When you look at John 12:24, where Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Here comes the manifestation of said fruit. Because while he was in hell, preaching his initial sermon in hell, disturbing, disrupting, distracting, and tearing down the very kingdom of Satan from the inside out, those souls that got released came back to the face of the earth. Because the scripture in Matthew declares that those souls that had been in the graves for years came back to the face of the earth. They had been released. The first official revival did not start with Peter and the 3,000. The first official revival started with Christ and those souls that were released out of captivity. I'm sorry.
And take that a step further. Not only did they come back, but they came back Holy Ghost filled.
They
never had opportunity with that before.
That's right. That was the power that resurrected them from the grave.
Yes. And so when they came up out of that grave, they came back with an anointing that they were able to do some things, but they came back with a fiery anointing that they had never operated in before. But as soon as they came back, they went to work in that anointing that they have received.
Amen. And think of
I'm not just talking and making up things. It said for 40 days they were seen by the people, preaching, laying hands, doing great work for God for 40 days.
40 days. Imagine that.
Good God.
King David, King Solomon. We could go down Deborah, Barak, Esther, Mordecai. Go ahead. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob.
Isn't it strange that the Lord chose 40 to do what he did with them? How many know that the number 40 stands for the miraculous?
That's right. Always has.
And so for 40 days, it must have been a mighty move of God going on in the streets of Jerusalem, because the Lord let it go on for 40 days.
Yes.
And he said they saw them prophesying, laying hands, preaching, doing the work of God, 40 days. Can you think if we were able to have 40 days of power right now? Woo, my God.
Wouldn't be able to stand it.
If we can do it in our various churches, have a time when we agree we're going to have 40 days of service everywhere and nothing but the Holy Ghost move. Oh, my God. You talking about a mighty move of God in this state. I tell you, nobody will be able to hardly stand it. So, but now, let me get to the next part. It said he descended, but it didn't leave it there. It said, but he also ascended. Now, can I help you there?
Go for it.
When that lady named Mary saw him in the garden, what did he say to her?
Mary?
Yeah, in the garden. What did he say to her?
Mary?
What else did he say to her?
And he turned around when she realized it was him. He said she went to go grab him. He says, don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father's
heaven. Why do you think he said that?
Because his pureness. He's fresh from the grave, fresh from his revival in hell, and now he has to go take the full report and the evidence to the Father, and the evidence cannot be tainted.
But let's take that a little further and a little deeper. He told her, don't touch me. I'm going to throw something at you tonight that almost is going to drive you nutty. Amen. He was still the Holy Ghost. He had just put his uniform back on.
That was it.
He had put his earthly uniform back on.
He had.
And she saw him as a man, but he was not man any longer.
Uh-uh.
He said, don't touch me. I'm who you see, but I'm not who you think you see.
No, I am the God-man infusion. The divine nature is in a house of flesh just so I can go back and report to my Father and present myself before him, a living sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Acceptable unto God.
And so if I can sort of make that plain, he says, sister, don't touch me. I am the spirit and a flesh man, as you just said, all at one time. So you can't handle if you touch me.
Might burn up.
He said, but let me go in ascension, which means I'm going up and give the blood sacrifice before God now and show him all that's been done.
Hey, can I throw something in there, Apostle?
Yeah.
To stay in line with the word, he had to go to the heavenlies, to the fourth heaven, and go into the Holy of Holies as a high priest and pour his blood out on that altar.
Yeah.
Same way the imitations that the priest did prior to Christ was the same thing Jesus had to do in heaven.
Well, I want everybody to know something tonight. That is the Ark of the Covenant that we don't know about, because he went and put his blood on the Ark of the Covenant like they would on the earth. So how could he go to heaven and put himself on an ark when it's supposed to be down here? That's another part of God we have not been introduced to yet.
All right,
now. And when we do, it's going to be a hallelujah time. I'm telling y'all tonight, when we are introduced to the other part of God, it's going to be a hallelujah fit for us. And yes, we're going to be introduced to another part of God. Remember what the book of Revelation said? It said he wears a gold vest with a name on it, and that name has not been revealed yet. That's even a name that we don't know yet. But when we get hold of that name, it's going to take us up high. God have mercy.
And it's not an emotional experience either.
Uh-uh. Now, he had a work to do, so he ascended to go do it. He went back into heaven. Now, he went down to hell and then went back into heaven. Not only to show the blood, but let me say this, to show the Father, I'm all right. I've done what you sent me for, and I am all right. I am whole. I can still do the rest of what you sent me for. So when he went up in ascension, he put the blood where it should be, but he also showed himself.
Amen.
But now he had to come from descension, ascension, back to descension for what reason?
Repeat that again, please.
He had to do a descension, an ascension, back to descension.
To show infallible proofs that he indeed did rise from the grave.
Yes. And what else did it say he did on the second descension?
Primarily, I mean, I thought I covered it when I said he had to show infallible proofs. Is it, I might be missing something.
All right. If you read that text, when he came down in the second descension, it said he gave gifts unto me.
Okay. That was before his ascension he left those gifts. Okay. I got you.
No, he descended and ascended. And he descended again, but the second time, he descended to earth to release an anointing of the gifting to those that were already on the earth. He didn't do that for those that rose up with him. He was now giving gifts unto us so that we can go in the Holy Ghost and get Father things to operate in the spirit with.
Amen.
Somebody tell me why you think he did that.
Well, if you're going to be his representatives, you have to be properly equipped. You have to be trained, because just like the disciples had to be trained before they could be sent out by twos, as we found out in earlier portions of Scripture, those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers needed training to do training so that the body of Christ could reproduce after its own kind.
Pastor Henderson, what you got to say on that? Something got to be burning in you by now.
There with it?
Uh-oh. She's dreaming about what we're saying. Kim and Kim, what you want to throw in there? I know you got something.
What I want to throw in is that I concur. I really believe that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit to allow God to dwell in you. And it comes to the Holy Ghost. I was just on prior to this wonderful podcast on Sea Time, and we had a beautiful lady sharing her story about her captivity. And it was just so amazing that she was willing to share her story. So it tells me that God is using so many people to share their stories. And it has to be the Holy Spirit, because it has to be God, because I really believe that God would never place more on his children than we can bear. And so with that being said, when you're led by the Spirit, you can't go wrong. We are not perfect people, but we do serve a perfect God. And it does say that we must continue on loving him, and loving him is obeying his commandments. So I really believe that the Holy Spirit gives, you know, us the understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So that will be me.
Now, can I show you all something else tonight? A lot of people like to use this scripture, but I never hear them talk about it the right way. Greater works shall ye do than what I have done. How in the world are we supposed to do greater works than Jesus? Does anybody really understand that scripture? Actually, what Jesus was saying to us is that more of you will be able to operate in the Holy Ghost, not just more of you will be able to do what I did and more. No, more of you will have the Holy Ghost to do what I did. And that's how you're going to do greater works, because there's more Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost, but more of you bearing it.
I got it.
So you can get more work done. Oh, my Lord have mercy. I must be foolish tonight.
Nope.
I must not sound right tonight.
No, you're all right.
But when you think about it, that's the reason we can do more than Jesus did, because Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. But on this line tonight, we can do more than Jesus. You're full, I'm full, they're full. Amen. If we want to break out in the Holy Ghost tonight, we can do more than Jesus did, because there's more of us able to operate.
Amen.
It's not because of the numbers, there's more of us with the power.
Amen.
And you got to remember, somebody's tried to bring this up before. Somebody tried to bring up that the disciples had power. But remember, they had power on them. God put power in us. In that 10th chapter of Matthew, he breathed on them and gave them Holy Ghost power. They had it on them, but when he did it for us, he put it in us. Oh, my God. That must be a stronger anointing to have it in us than to have it on us. And we should not be afraid to do anything for God, because it stirs up in our spirit. It doesn't have to stir up on our being. It stirs up inside of us. And it works inside of us because God gave it to us to operate like that. And so, if the Spirit operates from within, somebody tell me about that. How is that greater?
Come on, y'all.
Well, if the fear works within, it tells us that, what, God lives inside of us, right?
Okay, I'll take that as part one. What else?
Yes. And with God's spirit inside of us, we have power. We have unmovable. I mean, it's the power that we cannot do without him inside of us, because it's the power that keeps us, right?
If we know we have power and the power is in us, then how do we operate?
Think about it.
Huh?
Think about it. The power that works
out
within by way of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
That is the power within. That is the power that gives us ability to do.
And
I'm not talking from the natural. I'm talking from the supernatural, because God's given us.
The only way that power can operate, God has to speak within us and move through us.
That's right.
It no longer comes upon us, do what he want to do, and then the power is gone. The power is always in us. Even if it's not at a high, at the moment, it's still in us. Let me say that again. Even if that power is not moving high at every moment, it's still in us. We don't have to wait for the power of God to come on us. We need it to stir up in us and help us do great and mighty things.
All right.
Good God from Zion. Matter of fact, it said if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead does what?
Quickens your mortal body.
No, it does what? Dwells
shall
in you.
Uh-huh.
Ooh,
you said does
statement.
What?
What a statement. Said if that same spirit is in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. So if the Holy Ghost is in us, it can make us do some things with speed that we can't do from our own flesh.
That's right.
Oh, I'm getting happy here. The Holy Ghost is so good to us. Anybody want to say anything? Then we'll go a little further. Because I'm talking too much tonight.
No, you're teaching tonight, and that's okay. That's not a problem. Sometimes we get caught up in Holy Week, and we get caught up in the traditional messages that come with Holy Week. Every now and then, we need to take in something a little different, another perspective, to go to the fringes that we ordinarily would overlook in this case.
Now, I'm going to ask the question. He told the disciples, well, more than the disciples, told them that were standing there, 500 brothers and sisters. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait there until you be endued with power. He didn't even tell them at that moment, until you get the Holy Ghost. He said, until you be endued with power. What was he talking about when he told them, you're going there and wait for power? What was they waiting for, blood?
Basically, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost is what they were waiting on, is what they would have been waiting for.
But why? And we understand that. Come on, answer the question. Why would he use the word power instead of Holy Ghost? What was he really telling them?
You're going to be filled with might and strength, authority, and ability.
I thought somebody was going to use it. What new words do we know about power?
Dunamis.
Kim, you got the other word?
We may have lost her. She probably talking on mute again.
I'm sorry. Do I have the word? Yes, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I do have the power.
Do you know it? Huh?
I know it. I sure do.
What is it?
The Holy Ghost.
No, no, no. One to two words we learned that is the definition for power. What's the second word? He gave us the first one. He said, dunamis. What's the other word?
The power. He gave us.
Begins with an E. I'm trying to get you to catch it before I say it.
Exousia.
Let me give you that scripture in the interpretation. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait there until you be endued with dunamis and exousia. Oh, my God. Stay there. You're going to be filled with authority and with ability to tear up the devil's work.
That's right.
Can you imagine being told that? I know we all got the Holy Ghost, but go back. You're going to be filled with dunamis and exousia. You get ready to be filled with power to tear the devil's work, authority to speak to him, and him that his work is not going to work over you. Now, God is wonderful. He told his people of God, okay, I know it's the Holy Ghost, but you need to know is dunamis and exousia. I'm going to give you a double portion with one deal. Oh, my God. I'm going to give you a double working ability with one feeling.
Amen.
Somebody tell me about the double portion. Anybody know about it? And I'm talking about in the power of God. I'm not talking about fleshly. What is the double portion?
To have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart, the ability of God to be able to go into the world and do exploits for our God.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you tonight, if you are Holy Ghost filled, it's more than just being filled. He has given you such power to do certain things. There's no need of you sitting around not doing nothing. Because the power is in you. The
Amen.
Holy Ghost has filled you. Why are you sitting still? Ooh. And let me say this. That I just said, if you will look at the book of Acts, the book of Romans, and just that New Testament, you will find out after the Holy Ghost came into God's people, they could not stay still. I don't understand people now talking about they got the Holy Ghost and just as dry as cornbread in the refrigerator. I don't know. Ever since I've had the Holy Ghost, the Lord has done this, that, the other in my walk with him, and it has never been a dry moment. I don't know how people are Holy Ghost filled with no move of God, with no reaction of the power that's supposed to be inside. Somebody tell me about that. What's wrong with this?
You want me to say it correctly, or do you want me to just say it generally?
Say it correctly and generally.
Correctly, according to the scriptures, they have a form of godliness, meaning they pretend to be when there is nothing in them that's authentic or real, but they deny the power thereof. Generally speaking, they don't understand what dwells in them, therefore it never has a moment or opportunity to unleash because they don't know how to uncork it.
I want to ask the question right here. Are they Holy Ghost filled?
Well, again, you know, you can't have ketchup on your plate for your french fries until you turn the bottle upside down and shake it.
So therefore, in order to see a demonstration of Holy Ghost, you got to first get filled with it.
There you go. And you can't release it unless you open up, if you allow the Holy Spirit to uncap your spirit. Your yes is the uncapping and the releasing of the Holy Ghost to work through you. But he needs the yes. He is not going to push you. He's not going to force his way through you. He's not going to do any of that. He's simply not going to do it. He needs a yes from you. And I don't mean a yeah. I mean yes.
Now, I want to ask another question. In this day and hour, what should the Holy Ghost be doing through us?
Ministering, witnessing, demonstrating, manifesting, imitating.
And God has called us to do all of that and some. So the Holy Ghost inside of us is not for us to sit around and look cute. It's for us to get the work of God done.
And it's not for us to jump off in a dance because we feel good either. I don't get that. You start dancing because you feel good. Not one soul got saved. Not one soul got set free. Not one soul got delivered. Not one soul had the fetters, the chains on their brain and in their life broken or destroyed because of the anointing and you dancing.
Now, one thing I want to say, I'm sad to say it, but I got to tell the truth. Most houses of God or most worship centers are not seeing the flow and move of God because you got to have a Holy Ghost filled pastor.
Say that one more time. Say that one more time.
As in most worship centers, or as we call it, house of God or church, don't see a move of God because you got to have a Holy Ghost filled pastor.
Amen.
And if God is not moving through the pastor, how do we expect to see a move of God in the house?
Amen.
I mean, we're not to get crazy with the leadership of the church, but at the same time, how can I get more of God when you're not even moving in God?
Wow.
And the reason I know you're not moving in God is because I'm tired of the same old sermon for the last 3 years. You digging up the same stuff. Put two or three new sentences in there and trying to make us think you heard from God. No, you just reconstructed the sermon so to have a little something new in it. But I asked this question a long time ago. Maybe one of y'all can answer it tonight. What happened a word from God? Didn't have to read no scriptures, none of that. Just open your mouth and say what God wants to say.
They got educated. I got to say it. They got educated. Now they value
education.
They got educated. There's no other way to describe it.
No, I said that's a good one, but I'm waiting to see what Kim got to say, too. Take it off of mute, girl. Take it off of mute.
What was the question, my brother?
My question
what happened
is,
to
if the Holy Ghost is not moving through a pastor, how do they expect it to move in a church?
Well, I'm not supposed to be dependent on a pastor. My relationship is based on the Lord. Because you're going to have some pastors who are, they say they're called, but they're sent. Not sent, well, you know. But anyways, your Holy Ghost is not depending on other people. It's depending on your relationship with God. Have you confessed to him? And that would be my input. That's what I believe. And also, we do have Chanel on the line as well.
I'm going to get to you in a minute, girl. You know better to come late. I'm going to still get you. But watch this now. If your pastor, I just got to put this out there. If your leader is not moving in the Holy Ghost, how do you expect a move to be in the house or in you if the leader does not move?
I have to leave if I don't feel him, too, by the way.
I'll say this. And in this day and age, there can be leaders in the house that are not Holy Ghost filled, but God has a remnant that is filled, that's in the house. Mm-hmm. And though the leader is supposed to be the authoritative figure in that house, God can still use who is available and willing to be used to do what needs to be done.
Okay. I'm going to get real nasty and raw now. But what if that pastor don't accept a move of God or don't want a move of God? Then what do you do then? If the move of God is in you, but they don't want to accept the move of God, what do you do?
Well, you can speak to them and tell them that God has given you something to do, and they can tell you to sit down. And you can almost be certain that that service will be over in the next 10 minutes. Because
Chanel, talk to me, girl. Glad to be back with you tonight.
I agree with Kimmy
Bishop Elect.
Yeah, just like what they both said, I agree with both of them, because I believe that sometimes, just like he said, that sometimes the pastor isn't Holy Spirit led, but then there's someone else there that is, because you can't shut up the Spirit, even if you want to, but you can't.
Mm-mm.
So it's going to come out. It's going to come out somehow, because God word has to be heard and it's going to be spoken. You know, he said even the rocks will cry out. So that's what I believe.
So let me ask the question on what you just said then. If the Spirit is trying to move and the pastor says, or stands up to the mic and says, oh, praise God, we got to move on. Are they right or wrong?
If the Spirit is moving and they holler, we got to move on, they're wrong. They're wrong. And one of two things will happen. Either the Holy Spirit's not going to press his way through or over that leader. But the Holy Spirit can and will provide another means and avenue whereby what needs to be done will and shall be done.
All right. What's our time schedule right now, y'all?
11:22.
Oh, we get ready to get off the air. Lord have mercy. Bishop Elect, come on, talk to us a little bit, and then we're going to get off the air tonight.
Well, let's just, as we...
Say something you feel in your spirit right now.
I'm about to say exactly that. As we go through the process of Holy Week, understand all that's been done to get to this climactic point that's coming up in a few short days. When you go into service, go with the mindset that you want all of God and none of you to be present. When you celebrate Jesus, celebrate him because of who he is, not just for what he can do. Last but by no means least, as we always say, as God moves in you, let him order your steps and let him take you where he needs to take you, because you have no idea what's in store for you. The Bible says, I have not seen, neither have ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Let him use you. That's all he wants to do. Let him
use you. All right, I'm going to ask my dear friend, Chanel, give us closing prayer. Then everybody, hold on. I got a few announcements to give us on tonight. And then we're going to say good night and hear that heartbeat that she want to give us tonight. Go ahead and give us closing prayer, Chanel.
Okay. I just want to give honor to God and thank him for allowing us to get together and have this chit-chat coming together and talking about his holy word. Is exciting. It fills my spirit most of the time when I come on, and I'm just grateful that, you know, I could be a part of this. And I just want to thank God for that, for inviting me. Thanking the pastors for accepting me, and hopefully we all gonna have a great and holy week. And thank y'all for coming to listen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I want to announce, amen, starting with tonight is the Holy Week, Celebration Week, the Passion Week. Want everybody to remember God every day. Amen. And think about what he did on each day. And then Friday at 12 noon, all that can make it, please call in. We'll be having the last saying of the week on Friday at 12 o'clock, 701-801-9814. Please call in and be a part of the service on Friday. And Evangelist Kim Dixon will be our speaker. And so we're going to have a wonderful word from the Lord. Amen. And then be prayerful on the first Sunday in May. I will be ordaining a deacon. And I thank God for ordaining him. But while I'm ordaining him, let me say he's getting ready for even higher work. He is a CPE, and he's going away to the armed force, and they're going to make him a pastor in the Air Force. And so I praise God for what the Lord is doing with him. So, but on his license, I'm going to make him a deacon and also a presenter of the gospel. Amen. And so he will go to the airport and do greater works. Amen. And I'm grateful when he took his CTE courses, he came out with flying colors of an A. And I thank God he's working in the hospital doing CTE work, and at the hospital he works at, when he's there, he's the only one on duty and have to go throughout that hospital and do the work that is assigned to the CTE. We all keep him in prayer. His name is Dennis Bellamy. Pray for him that God will bless him that day, even as he goes to the Air Force. Amen. On the second Sunday, I will be sponsoring a musical myself for the first time. Amen. I got a good number of quartet singers from around New Haven and Connecticut itself. But I also have special guests coming, a group called Resurrection from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And I also have coming the Stella Award winners, group called Fire, will be my main group on that day. Amen. So them two will be my special guests. And New Haven is going to start the fire. They're going to make the fire bigger. And we're going home. Amen. By the great singing of the Golden Star will be our last group and send us home with a great send-off. Amen. I want you to know the fourth Sunday in June, Sister Sandra Whitfield will be preaching her initial sermon here at the church. Amen. If you can make it, come on. I'd be glad to have you. Amen. But if you can't, you know how to pray. And let her, amen, pray for her that God use her in a mighty way. Amen. And I want to say the convocation, the holy convocation, starts June 18th through the 24th. The first two nights will be pre-service. The convocation itself will start on that Wednesday. Great preachers, great word, great presence of God will be with us on that week. Come and let God do something miraculous in your life. We know on the 23rd of July, which is still that week, Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. will be consecrated to a bishop on that Saturday. We don't want y'all to miss it. Come on, be with us. Come on from St. Louis. Come from wherever you need to come from. If you hear me, if you're on the phone from China, if you're on here from Africa, we don't care where you're from. If you want to be part of the consecration, come on in town and be a part, and we're going to have a great time in Jesus' name. And so that's all the announcement. Oh, no, it's not. Amen. Right after Mother's Day, starting that Tuesday night till Friday night, the Bishop A.L. Dale will be here in revival, here at the Morning Star. He will be here in revival. Amen. Starting that Tuesday night until that Friday. And we're looking for a Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it like this. We're looking for a Holy Ghost hit on that week. And God will do great things in the midst of the service. And so, continue to pray for one another, love each other, and God will do great things. And I want y'all to be prayerful. The Lord has sent me help like never before in the last few days. Amen. Someone comes every day others. And so I pray, God, for them. And y'all just pray that the help that he sent me will do what they're supposed to do. And the blessing of God bless their life like never before. And in Jesus' name, we love you all. And I say shalom, shalom to you all. The Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Dr. Kim, come on, make it hot. Make it roll. Make it be a track. Go ahead. I'd never make it through. I had given up, figured what's the use. See, my nights were long and cold. Oh yes, I was. And I felt so all alone. Yes, indeed. I threw the towel in. I thought it was the end. But you stepped in, yes. You saved me. Oh, yeah. You saved me, yeah. You brought me out. Broke the earth, yes, but I couldn't find my way. You saved me, yeah. Saved me. I fell so deep in sin. Ooh.